Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you all. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
I'm Prophetess McQueen. I'm Prophetess McQueen.
Thank you. This is Christ the King. Can y'all hear this? All right. God bless you. Amen. Technical difficulties this morning, but that's okay. There is a word from the Lord. This is Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. And I'm your host, Apostle Christopher McQueen. We know that this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Before we get going further, let's stop and get our morning announcements and our prayer. If you would, Prophetess Crystal.
Good morning, everybody. Once again, God bless you. Welcome again to Kingdom Lifestyle Broadcast. In the way of the announcements this morning, every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and Saturday at 10:30 a.m., join Apostle Christopher McQueen for Kingdom Lifestyle Broadcast. Every Thursday at 7, join me for Prophetic Atmosphere. You can hear every broadcast we have live at www.ctkr.org. We do pray that you will become a vision partner with us and a prayer partner with this ministry, helping us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. Also want to let you know that we, Christ the Key Redemptive Ministries and Women of Prophetic Destiny, has a Facebook page. Like us on our Facebook page. Do want to give a quick shout out to all of those, all of you, amen, who have been supporting, amen, our Facebook pages. Just kind of leave a prayer request or either a praise report. Let us know how the ministry is blessing your life. And even better yet, let us know how God is blessing your life. Amen. Those are the announcements for this morning. Let's go to prayer and then get right into the Word of God. Let's pray. Father, in the blessed name of Jesus, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your blessing. We thank you for your mercies, your guidance, your love, your protection, your kindness. We thank you, Lord. And as we, your people, come, we bow our heads, we bow in our spirits before you. We grab the throne or the horns of grace this morning. We ask for all forgiveness, Father. Forgive us for all unrighteousness, God. Cleanse us in the blood of Jesus. Wash us and make us whole in Jesus' name. Now, Father, as the man of God comes before us and begins to deliver the word, Father, charge the lips of clay this morning. Let him speak the oracles of God this morning. Let him speak with words of wisdom, words of knowledge, prophetically. God, let him speak words that are going to change the lives of your people. Let us not see him, but let us see the Christ in him. Now, Father, as your word comes, let it come. Let it be a seed water to our thirsty souls. Let it be a seed of life to us, Father. I'm asking even now, God, that you would give us a spirit of obedience. You said in your word, if we are willing and obedient, we shall eat the good of the land. Help us to turn our will over to your will, God. Let us walk according and upright in your word. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen and amen. So grateful for all that the Lord is doing with us and through us. I want you to know that this is definitely a time that we need to turn our focus on the things of God, the enemy of your soul. Amen. Would love to get you off focus. I wish I had the time to really go into focus. But I think that that is something that we are really missing. You can put together a lot of plans, a lot of activities. You can do a lot of things. But if you don't have focus, then you're just running around in a circle like a dog that's running around and trying to catch its own tail. Amen. It's a lot of movement, no forward progression, a lot of energy expended, but nothing accomplished by it. Amen.
Amen.
And pray tell, what will you do once you catch that tail? Amen. You know, that's the interesting thing, is that as we're chasing things like that, God knows that that is not forward progression, and he warns us against it and tries to persuade us away from it. The enemy knows that that's not forward progression, and he tries to show us the value in the chase. So we have people who are chasing now something that is not productive, saying, look, I'm doing this, and I'm doing that, and I'm doing the other.
Mm-hmm.
You could do a whole lot of stuff, amen, but I'd rather be doing what God called me to do. You always hear us talk about your kingdom assignment, amen. If you are locked into your kingdom assignment, then what you do for Christ will last, amen. I think we forget that there's a judgment that's coming.
Mm.
Amen. And at that judgment, you will be tried. Your works will be tested and tried. Some people say, I'm just so happy that I'm going to make it. Well, listen, if you make it without completing your assignment, you made it in, but you have no reward. Amen.
Amen.
And I want you to know that eternal life is not the reward. Amen. I'm going to say that again. Eternal life is not the reward. Amen, because everyone, and I do mean everyone, good, bad, ugly, evil, righteous, everyone will receive eternal life. Now, you're going to have eternal life into the presence of the Lord, amen, or you're going to have eternal life into damnation, amen. But you're going to get eternal life. So if you're just running after eternal life, you can stop running now. You already got that. Now, what kind of life will you have? That's where you need to be focused on as far as your forward progression goes, and whether or not you run on, don't look back. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
I remember we used to sing those type of songs. Run, don't look back. Run on, don't look back. Run on, don't look back. We don't sing that no more.
Mm-mm.
'Cause we stopped running. I heard a preacher tell a congregation that, if you're going through, then you need to repent and ask God to forgive you, because he nailed your going through to the cross. And I want to look at them and say, that's erroneous. But people have heard that and believed it and try to do everything they can to find the easy way. You know, when they go through something, you need to check your heart, because you must have sinned. Amen. We're not in the Middle Ages. Amen. We understand that there's going to be some things in life that will happen. Amen. And as they happen, it does not designate that you are a sinner or that you have failed God. Sometimes you're just going through processing. Amen. And that processing turns up the heat on you in your life so that God can get off of you. Amen. The things that shouldn't be there. Should we go back through the process again? I think we shall. Let's walk this out just a little bit. Amen. I haven't gotten into where I'm going to be, but this is good as a beginner. when you go in and you begin to look at how they deal with processing, metals and things like that, the refining process, is they take raw ore, put it into a pot, heat the pot up until the ore breaks down. As the ore breaks down, what happens is all the impurities float to the top. Amen? Amen. It's interesting we use the term the cream rises, amen, where the impurities rise too, amen. And what happens is those impurities go up to the top and they skim off what they call the dross, amen. The dross is all the impurities that keep whatever that ore is from being pure.
Right.
And then they cool it down. And then they heat it up again. Mm-hmm. And after they heat it up again, it goes through the same process. Impurities are extracted from the pure ore, amen, and then they cool it off and they do it again. Now, the number of times that they go through the process determines the purity of that metal. So when you get 18 carat, you know, or 14 carat or 20 or 22 carat gold, amen, you're actually looking at the process that they put this through to get to that level of purity. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
So it is then the fire and the process that releases off of you the things that shouldn't be on you. Amen?
Amen.
The things that shouldn't be in you. Amen? Mm-hmm. And as you go through the process, and each time you go through, you should become purer. Amen.
Yes, yes,
so that means that even though you have gone through before, don't look at it as if I'm going through and I'm always going through. Some of us have to go through a lot more processing because we went through a whole lot more stuff before we came to Christ.
True.
Amen. And then there's some people who don't have to go through a lot of processing. There is something that's called fool's gold. And fool's gold basically is that stuff that look like it's real gold, but it has no value.
Yes.
Okay? And some people are walking around with polished up fool's gold talking about, I made it, but you haven't really made it. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't have the ability, the capacity, amen, to do what God called you to do because you never went through.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? And if you ain't go through it, then there's nothing that can be done for you.
Right.
Hmm? You don't have the ability, if you will, to do what God says to do. Because like Paul said, you know, my heart is here, but the capacity to do it isn't.
Hmm.
I want to do right, but I find that evil is within me. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
So you're trying to do the right thing, but you can't do the right thing because evil is present before you. So while you're trying to go towards righteousness and towards God, your proclivities of your life mean that you are trying to do something other than that.
Right.
Huh? You find that when you should be moving forward into the things of God, you can't do the things of God. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Your flesh gets in the way. That's why fasting and prayer is so important. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So we need to look at going through the process. Amen?
Amen.
There is a process. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, let's go into Colossians 2 and 4. Colossians 2 and 4. Reading from the King James Version. It says, now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and your steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ the Lord, so walk in him. Amen. And we were reading before and talking about that we walk or that we live a life according to Christ. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking now about walking in him. Amen.
Amen.
Seven first, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Amen. Eight first, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him. Look at your neighbor and say, you're complete in him.
I'm complete in him.
Come on, look at your neighbor and say, you're complete in him.
You're complete in him.
Amen. So if you are complete in him and the fullness of the Godhead dwells in him bodily, wherever you are, he is. And wherever he is, you should be. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Huh? Who is the head of all principalities and power? Now, I'm going to stop there because I want you to see a few things here during our short time together. It is imperative. Amen. That we take time and notice and understand who we are in him. The enemy has tried often, amen, to persuade us outside of our godly citizenship. Try to persuade us that we are not royalty. We're not the king's kids, if you will. Try to change the definition of the precepts of Christ in our life.
Mm-hmm.
I said it before, the trick of the enemy is the same that he's been used in when he went to Eve, hath not God said. And even though you may know the correct answer as Eve corrected him, amen, if you allow him to interpret word that you know, amen, then you'll find yourself not rooted and grounded and established in the faith, amen, as Paul says here, amen, in 7 verse. You'll find yourself walking in doubt, wondering if you have a foundation.
Wow.
Huh? So as I've been dealing with this class on in school, world religion, the first thing that they begin to do is tear away the foundations of the faith. And they go in and they try to, through scientific means, tell you that, you know, well, there's nowhere in the world for us to say that we have a testimony of the original witness that came back in the day when this text was, you know, put together by whoever did it. So instead of saying that holy men were inspired by the Spirit of God, they say, we don't know who did it, and if they didn't make up this wonderful story, just putting together things that will fit what they believe. Okay? So if you are not rooted and grounded, established, I like this 7 first where it says, rooted and built up in him. If you have not gone through the experience of redemption and reconciliation, you have not experienced it in your life, then people can come and tell you that this isn't what it really is.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Interpret for you the Bible. Interpret for you the Word of God. Interpret for you your experience. See, and that's why I don't believe that everybody should run all the time. Amen? I tell you, I like a good Holy Ghost filled fire baptized service with shouting and speaking in tongues, and we just laid out before the Lord. But there's a time when we need to come in and learn this thing.
Mm-hmm.
The enemy has not
stop what he's doing. And we have young men and women, as I said before, there's a young lady in class said, you know, I've heard all my life that this is what it is, and I don't know if that's really the truth. So, I mean, my parents believed it, but I need to know what I believe. And what I hear there is this is a young person who has gone to church but hasn't experienced really what the relationship with Christ is. So they've been going there because mom's taking them, dad's taking them, amen. They got involved with the church programming, you know, and I'm not saying anything negative about some of these churches out here, but some of them have these programs where the young people come in and they sit around and they sing to puppets, amen, and learn a couple of Bible verses, play around on PlayStations and Xboxes and everything else, and after all is said and done, you know, a couple of crackers and juice, amen, and then the parents come in all full because they heard the word and they're trying to live a saintly life, and the children have been there because they was brought. Well, we want them to be interested in what's going on. We don't make them interested in what's going on by watering down the gospel or half giving it to them. We'll give them the whole gospel, but they can't take it all at once because they're only kids. Wait a minute, you got to understand that 7- and 8-year-old children are running games now.
True that.
Huh?
True that.
11-year-olds are having babies. Huh? Why are you sitting there trying to water down the gospel based on their age, talking about they can't understand? There are 12- and 13-year-olds running households because mom and dad are incapacitated with drugs and other things in their life, and they're the ones taking care of their younger brothers and sisters. Amen? I'm not talking about what I heard in statistics. I'm talking about people that we've dealt. Amen? Thank God for a young lady that we had come through our ministry who was in that situation from the age of 12, I do believe, amen? And after all was said and done, she went on off on a full scholarship, amen, to Tennessee, if I remember, Kentucky or Tennessee, amen? Thank God for that young lady because she didn't let her circumstance hold her down. But thank God that he gave us the words of wisdom to be able to speak into her life and encourage her that no matter what was going on in her life, she didn't succumb to it and become a next level or layer of a statistic that is ongoing. Amen? So then what we have to do is we have to understand that we can't just water down this gospel based on age, but we got to preach an unadulterated gospel. See, when we have young people who can't sit in church and hear the word and understand it. I remember coming up from a child at the age of 8. I was at church already, started playing the piano at the age of 4. But at the age of 8, 9, I was playing for the church. Amen? Mm-hmm. Huh? That kept me right there with the preacher because not like it is today where musicians come in, try to impress everybody with their skills. As soon as the preacher say, turn with me if you will in the word, they find themselves out back or, you know, running down the street trying to talk to people and don't come in until after and say, and, oh, and then here they come through the back door. And then you ready to jump in. What about this word that's supposed to change your life? Well, you know, Doc, you know, I know the Bible. I know the, you don't know nothing if you can't sit up under this word. Mm. Back when I came up, you wasn't, listen, you went to the bathroom before church, and unless you had a medical something that was going on, amen, you wasn't running to the bathroom whenever it was convenient. You know, that's we have those ushers at the back that will point you back towards your seat.
That's very true.
Huh? And mother or father out the choir stand or wherever they was had to go ahead and let them know it's good. You can go. Amen? See, not none of this, don't be talking to my child.
Right.
We have order in the house of God. Amen? Now anything goes. People don't dress up. Young people come in, sit on the organ with jeans and if what are those pants that come down to the knee?
Crops.
Those crops, you know, and all that. And they don't even be pulled up to the waist. So while they sitting on the organ and the drums and everything, they got the pants down showing the butt crack. You know, but they the best drummer here in this area. We lucky to have them. Listen, if we're lucky to have them, then while they're there playing with their skilled self, put something into them so that they can have some character and integrity in their life. Oh, this ain't popular, and I don't care. It's right. Amen? See, we didn't come up with all of that mess. And when I say that, as I said before, we grew up in holiness. We had a standard, and the standard stood. Amen? So, when we begin to talk about some of these things, we're not throwing off. We're talking about what got us to where we are. Amen?
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Now, this word says something very interesting. It says, now I say, this I say, lest anyone should deceive you, listen to this, with persuasive words.
Mm-hmm.
That teacher spoke those words, and a young person seems satisfied with it. Because although they've heard the word, although they know their parents are saved and they've gone to church all their life, they were not convinced within themselves mm-hmm. of the validity of the cross, the validity of Christ, the validity of the word of God. As I'm going on in the course, we started with Judaism, and the first thing that they started doing was trying to tear away the foundation of the Bible. And you have to understand that the way that the enemy works is similar to this. Wherever you stand, whatever you stand upon, if he can cause your foundation to crumble or to be shaky, then he can move you from your place. Can I say it like this? He can move you from your established faith. Mm-hmm. You see that? How do they do it? They begin to have dialogue with you mm-hmm. and begin to talk to you. And if I didn't know that the Word of God was inspired by the Holy Spirit, how do you know that he inspired them? Because he inspires me. Mm-hmm. Huh? There are things that I have written, things that I have done. There are, and I said it before, as a musician, there are times when I would come in and my mother would be playing music, and I'd be like, "Woo, Mom, who is that playing?" And she said, "Boy, that's you." I said, "When did I play that?" And she said, "You was playing this at the revival in such a place." All I remember is that we had a high time in the Lord, amen? Mm-hmm. And when we had that high time in the Lord, I wasn't listening to what I was playing. I was playing under the power and the influence of the Holy Spirit. It was the thing that mantled, that anointed me and constricted me and conformed me into a lifestyle. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Even to the point where when people came and began to talk persuasive words about how much money I could make if I would simply go out and play in the clubs and other things, it never attracted me out. I was afraid of losing the anointing. Nowadays, we have musicians who play any and everywhere. And when you talk to them about the anointing, they tell you, listen, I do this for a living. Okay? So the priest should go out and do any and everything because they only a priest for a living. So I can live any lifestyle I want as long as I show up here on Sunday. Because that's what you're doing as a musician. Huh? The Bible talks about hirelings. Mm. Oh, Lord. Mm. What is a hireling of? Hireling is a person who comes in and tends the sheep or to take care of the business, but just as soon as a hardship happens, they run. You see that? Huh? And when you're dealing with hirelings, you know, when you're dealing with hirelings will take you with promissories of where they will go or how y'all could get there and never be able to accomplish that task. Because they're only there to look good.
Mm-hmm.
They're only there to be recognized. They're not there to go through. They're not there to help you mature, help you grow, or anything else. They're not there for you. Amen?
Mm-mm.
They're there as long as it's profitable and looks good to be there. Huh? Now, you can tell when you're dealing with a hireling because everything in their life meshes up to that character. Look at their personal relationships. Look at their family. Look at their jobs. If you find somebody who can't stay for three months at anything, you're probably looking at hireling. Amen? As long as it benefits me, I'm here. I had a girlfriend. Well, I thought this was it. Yeah, I did too, you know, but sometimes you're just going to have to move on. I don't know. Maybe I can't find nobody. Maybe you just need to grow up. Amen? Maybe you just need to, make a concerted effort towards a dedicated lifestyle. You hear them when they start talking about dedicated lifestyle, making excuses. Well, you know, everybody got something. No. When you really say, you stop trying to persuade yourself. And you see that right there? Lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. We got to stop talking to ourselves sometimes. Lord help us right there. Huh? Because sometimes, you know, God tells us to do some stuff and we begin to talk against it, our own self. It don't fit what we want. We have told everybody else, I ain't never going to preach. And then here comes the Lord saying, I want you to go spread my word. I told people I wasn't going to preach. Lord, that can't be you. That can't be you because I ain't never had no desire.
You sure say it.
Yeah, that's right. You never had a desire. But since you one in Christ now and he said, hey, then guess what? You need to move. Stop making excuses for bad behavior. Lord, I love that. I'll put that on a plaque someplace. Amen.
Yeah, I can see that.
Amen. Stop making excuses for bad behavior and get with the program. Look at your neighbor and say, get with the program.
Get with the program.
Come on, say it again. Get with the program.
Get with the program.
Amen. Now, let's go on down through here because I want y'all to see something. It says, here in the fifth verse, though I am absent in the flesh. And it's interesting. I think prophetess could speak to this if I handed it over to her. Amen. It says, though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and steadfastness, amen, of your faith in Christ. Brothers and sisters, if your pastor got to be around you 24/7 for you to walk this walk, you need to go back to the altar, get saved again, recommit, and understand before you leave the altar what it means to be saved. Amen? We got people out here right now talking about, you know, I gave the preacher my hand, and I'm good. I know I'm sealed eternally. Let's stop. Hold it. We can't let this stuff keep sliding and going. Amen? If I got to be around you for you to remember all of this, amen, then you probably need to recommit. Reconnect. Amen? Huh? We need a redo. Huh? Thank God he allows do-overs. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. Huh? See, to see your good order and steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Mm-hmm. I like social media. Social media is a wonderful thing. It is a wonderful evangelistic tool if you use it for that. There are some sons and daughters that we deal with that are in other time zones than we are, amen, other continents than we are, amen, and as we have to deal with them, we have to deal with them as they are available. Many times, I'm up in the middle of the night, prophetess to tell you, I'm up in the middle of the night, Holy Spirit speaking to me, and sometimes I'm addressing business matters over in Africa and other places where we have ministries. And as I deal with them, excuse me,
they give me testimony of what's going on. And every once in a while, we'll run across some people who say the right things. But when you look back, you can see that all the wrong stuff is going on.
Prophet has had a young man, I think it was a pastor or a bishop or somebody, contacted her this week. And she said, do you know this person? Because what normally happens sometimes is if there's a husband and wife ministerial team, the husband will be my friend, and you know, the wife will connect to my wife, and we'll connect opposite of that. So I'll connect to the wife, then the wife, my wife will connect to the husband. We spend most of our time, I'll spend most of my time dealing with the husband. My wife spend most time dealing with the wife. Right. But just to make sure that there's open lines of communication through all of us, we make sure that we're interconnected, if you will. Amen. And my wife had this person contact her for a friend. And I looked and I said, she said, do you know this person? I said, no, I don't know them. She said, okay. And as she began to check through, she found out that there was nothing there that she needed to connect to. They had the title. But when you looked at what they were demonstrating or what they was projecting, it had nothing to do with Christ. Huh? And there's too many people who see things like that and believe, amen, that they're looking at true Christians. So the world is walking around in a confused state. Because when you are looking for someone who can help you in what you're dealing with, you're looking for somebody who can get in touch with Christ, amen, right now. I need somebody who can grab hold of heaven now. I need somebody who knows the words, not just the words, but have a relationship that can shake the gates of hell and move heaven on my behalf. So you got the title and the name, but you don't have the lifestyle or the commitment. Amen? When he says here, he says to see your good order and your steadfastness of your faith, then that means that everything about you, regardless of where we see you or find you, amen, we should see that there is good order. Our God is not a God of confusion. He's a God of order. That means that he set things in proper perspective and dimension. When you see it, it is in its proper order. But we like to move things from where God placed it. And when we move it from where God placed it, then it goes into disorder. And the opposite of chaos is order. The opposite of order is chaos. So a lot of times when we see things, it's because you ungrabbed hold of it thinking that you knew better than God. And move stuff from where it should be to where you think it should be. I listened to a morning show, in the morning. And on the morning show, there's a young lady. The young lady basically is one who doesn't cook, and she's known not to cook. So in her kitchen, her stove, because she never going to use it, serves as a bookcase. Now, let me just share with you. There was a commercial with some bachelors on it. And they kept their sweaters in the oven. Now, to me, that doesn't make any sense. Okay? It was not designed to be a bookshelf.
Closet.
Thank you, dear. It ain't meant for that. But yet and still, people use it because it fits what they plan on doing with it. And the same thing as we go down to kingdom assignments. God didn't mean for you to do X, Y, and Z, but because it fit what you want to do, you try to make it fit. Huh? Mm-hmm. See, and that's how the enemy tells you that it's okay if you see it like this. So when we talk about good order, we mean things put in place. Listen, if you're going to have anything in your oven without using it, put your pots and pans in there. I'm not talking about the dirty ones. I'm talking about the ones that are already clean so that you have some place to put them. Amen? Sure. Because some people be trying to hide dishes from themselves and try to figure out why the whole house smell like something going awry. Something went awry because you put something in the oven or behind something or under something. We got to grow up from being little kids, amen? Huh? And start doing things in decency and order, amen? God has a way, amen? Look at your neighbor and say, God has a way.
God has a way.
Oh, yes, he does. He has a way. I remember that song, God Has a Way, that's mighty sweet. Amen. You can lay your burdens down at his feet. He knows the road, the way that we go. God has a way. Amen. We used to have church on some of that stuff. Lord, I think we need to have one of those services and just come in and begin to sing some of the songs from Zion. Amen. Amen. I remember going to Old Ship of Zion. Have you seen those songs? And I was a young man waiting on them to get to some Kirk Franklin or some John McKee or somebody. But I understand now why it was so important to sing those songs. And they would sit there and rock and go in. Amen. We need to do one of those. Amen. Amen. That's it. Amen. Now, to see your good order and your steadfastness of your faith, brothers, sisters, we are not defending the faith anymore. We have not gotten into the Word of God. We can't defend what we don't know. Huh? You see that? So if we can't defend the faith, then that means that the enemy can come in and say and teach and try to push whatever he feels like. Because we don't know. Amen? We are not positioned, amen, to know or to see or to be able to maintain. Amen. We can't defend the gospel. We don't know it. I'll keep going back to this class that I'm taking because you can pretty much tell where he's at, the instructor, because he keeps going back to scientific proof. Scientific proof. Scientific proof. Well, the thing about a miracle is that it defies scientific proof. Mm-hmm. And if the miracle of the Word of God is that it's still applicable today as it was when it was given to us, amen? Amen. That's the miracle. It's not going to stand up to your scientific proof, but it's going to be valid, huh? He said something that was interesting, and I think he's more agnostic than he is atheist. Because he said, when you look at things, agnostics believe in a higher power. They're just not ready to attribute it to Jehovah God or to Yahweh. Amen? So what they do is they look for a higher enlightenment or higher empowerment. Amen? Mm-hmm. And as they begin to look at that, they begin to attribute it to Buddha and Buddhism and Hinduism and all these others. They come into Taoism and that, and they begin to find a little bit of truth here and a little bit of truth there. And instead of ascribing to one truth and seeking it out, what they do is they try to take in all truth and make their own belief off of that. That's still the trick of the enemy, because if we know that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, no man comes to the Father except by him. It's through him, amen. Then if I take my faith and apply it to anything, then I have just walked away from my hope. Amen. So if I'm going to be steadfast, I can't allow anything to move me from Christ. Mm-hmm. Look at your neighbor and say, I'll let nothing move me from Christ.
I'll let nothing move me from Christ.
Say it again. I'll let nothing move me from Christ.
I'll let nothing move me from Christ.
I tell you, the enemy will try his best. Even though you make that declaration, he'll try to shake the track that you're on. Amen? Sixth verse then says, as therefore you have received Christ the Lord, so walk in him. And if you're going to walk, then that means that there is a forward progression in the way that you go. Y'all see that? Huh? So if I'm walking in him, then that means that I'm moving forward in him. It is not that I'm standing still hoping that everything works out for my good. It is that I'm moving forward believing that as I progress in my relationship and it develops in him, as I mature in him, that I'll be going down the road towards my destiny. I love the fact that he uses the word walk here. Because people are trying to fly to the end. People are trying to run to the end. Huh? And if you look at this, this word walk says that there is a progression at a steady pace. You see that? That means that I'm not going to be at the end like that.
Right.
But as I continue on, I'm going to make progression or progress towards that end. It is making the progress towards that end, amen, that gets me to a place where I understand that I may not be where I'm going to arrive, but I'm not where I started from. Amen?
Amen.
So when he says, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, as you follow your Savior, your leader, amen, your Lord, amen, you'll walk in him, not next to him, not ahead of him. If somebody say you can't walk ahead of God, he's every place. He's with, yeah, you can. You can get ahead of God. God tells you that he's going to make you great, and instead of waiting on him to develop you so that you can stand under the greatness that he has designed for you, you go out there and try to make a name for yourself and mess up everything. You better ask Moses, huh? Talk to Brother Joseph with his dreams, huh? You can get ahead of yourself. You're still going to go through the process. You see that? Amen. So as we walk in him, then there's a couple of things that are going to happen with us, and this is where we're going to hang our hat for this morning, the seventh verse. As you're walking in him, you're going to be rooted. Look at your neighbor and say, rooted.
Rooted.
Say it again. Say, rooted.
Rooted.
The good thing about being rooted, it means that you've taken time to dig down into it and establish yourself an anchor. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
So as you have received Christ the Lord, so walk in him. As you're walking in him, you're going to seek out truth. Notice that the word root. Amen. What roots actually do is that they go through the soil looking for nutrients and moisture. It is the thing that sustains your life, but also provides for your growth. Amen. Go back to your science project in elementary school where you took the pea or whatever it was, the seed, and you put it in that little cup with the clear cup with the paper towels and made sure that it was over at the end, mm-hmm. so you could see what was going on with it, and you kept the water and everything in it. Is that how it was done? Huh?
Yeah,
a little different. Amen. Sometimes they put it in water and sustain
it.
Put it
in Ziploc bag,
Yeah. Yes, yes. Y'all know what I'm talking about, though. Yeah, so, amen. And as you're looking at that, what they're trying to show you is that as the seed dies, it begins to take on life. But as it takes on life, what you see is going throughout that bag or throughout that cup is the roots begin to come out of the seed and seek whatever it can that causes that growth.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all understand what I'm saying to you? Is that there are some things as you get rooted in him, you seek out those things that will cause growth and sustenance for your body. So you are dying to your former life. That seed life is dead now. It grew up as a seed, lived as a seed. But when it begins to go to the next level, it dies as a seed and becomes a plant. Amen? Some of you have to realize that as you have received Christ the Lord and you're going to walk in him, you have to die to those old things that were in you. Stop trying to validate your life as a seed and become the plant or become the thing that God has called you to become. Root. Take root in it. Amen?
Right.
Huh? Dig down. What else do roots do? Well, let's talk to the palm tree. Amen? Let's talk to some of these oaks and some of these other trees that are out here. You'll notice that when a storm comes, it is the roots that keep it anchored to the ground. So even though the storm is coming and they're going back and forth, they don't fly off with the wind. Huh? Why? Because they are rooted down into this. It then becomes an anchor. Whatever is feeding you, you should anchor to it. Y'all see that?
Yes.
And that you anchor to it, then you'll find out that God will give you the ability to grow, but to grow greater. Amen? And you won't be tossed, according to the word of God, Ephesians 4th chapter, by every wind of doctrine. Huh? It won't have the ability to shake you with persuasive words, as we were just saying. Huh? But you'll stand fast in Christ. As it says here in the fifth verse, steadfast in your faith in Christ. You see that? So number one, we have to be rooted. Look at your neighbor and say, rooted.
Rooted.
Now, the second thing is, and built up in him. Now, let's look at that, because as I said with that seed, as it dies and takes root, the roots go down to anchor, but also to seek nutrients and the moisture or the water, the things that would give it strength. But taking in things through your root don't do you any good if you don't have any leaves, because it is the leaves that provide for photosynthesis. Amen? And the leaves then begin to change all of that into chlorophyll that you need. That's the green color of plants. Amen?
All right.
Y'all see this? So as the plant comes up and the leaves come out, notice the first thing that comes up when that sprig hits the ground is that it leaves unfurl, because it needs to have something to capture sunlight to change whatever is coming in into food that will help it to grow. Y'all see that?
Mm-hmm.
So it has to then go that as you go down, you should be able to go up. So where he says here, rooted, he said take anchor and get the supplies or the resources for growth. But don't just do that. Be built up in him as you go up, and we lift up our hands. Holy Spirit begins to shine the light of truth upon us. And as we begin to take that word, amen, and the Spirit of God through our roots, amen, as it begins to come up, we begin to convert those things, amen.
Mm-hmm.
You see it? And it causes us to grow as we begin to take off former things. We begin to take on the things of God. We begin to move up then. We begin to become not just a shoot with a sprig of plant on it or a sprig of leaves on it. We begin to take form. We begin to get a trunk. We begin to get them branches. We begin to grow up into limbs. You see that? We are becoming a plant that is growing. And the more that we put out plants or we put out leaves, the more that we can cause photosynthesis to happen in our member. The more that we convert what we're getting into food that nourishes and builds our body. We become strong. You
Amen.
See that? Huh? So you're being built up in him. Notice that you're being built up in him. Because whatever you feed yourself, you become. You heard the saying, amen, that you are what you eat.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Some of y'all are eating some stuff that will never help you to grow as a strong spiritual plant. Amen, somebody. When everything that you look at is something that you can't show to Jesus, you need to change the station. Amen. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you need just turn the thing off. Amen. There are times when we walk through the house and we got enough TVs. Amen. We can. This ain't like it was back in the day. They used to hide the TV, put that little doily thing over the front of it, put a plant on top of it, act like they ain't even got no TV. You come over there, they like, praise the Lord. Ain't no TV in the house. And let let you get comfortable and their show come on. Mm-hmm. Don't tell nobody. They used to lift up that thing and fold it back, turn the TV on, watch the TV, and then put it right back down. Right. Nobody know. Okay, listen, we got enough TVs nowadays. But some of the programming that's on them is not godly. Huh? Anytime we can look at people doing some of anything, the Bible talks about adultery and fornication and talks about lying, still cheating, everything else. And if we start dealing with that, we have to turn off most of the programming that's on TV today. Mm-hmm. Huh? You can't even watch the news without somebody trying to show you some cleavage or something, trying to get you to watch it. Amen. We got to learn how to be built up in Him. Eat the things that are going to cause you to grow. Get in your word. Get in your prayer. Amen. Huh? Last thing that we're going to say here, and establish in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it. Amen. Mm-hmm. See, now you can't abound in something that you won't adhere to. A disciple is one who is disciplined by a certain belief or belief system. You can't be a disciple of Christ and don't become disciplined by Him. We got too many Christians who are not really disciplined as Christians. We got too many churches trying to grow by any means, and they won't preach an unadulterated gospel. Brothers and sisters, we have to answer for this. I don't know about you, but I'm worried about my reply to Him. I'm not doing any of that, but I still want to make sure I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm so sensitive to that I want to make sure that I'm pleasing Him fully. Yet still we have people who don't care what He thinks, as long as I must be doing something. Look at all the people I got. And like I said, listen, you can go to a rock concert for Megadeth. They ain't saying, ain't claiming to be. That's amen. True. How many people do they fill up in a stadium?
All of the
seats, plus all that standing room. Don't think that just because you got a congregation that's a couple of hundred, couple of thousand, that you're doing the right thing. The devil is a liar.
Mm.
Amen? We got to get back to dealing with the unadulterated truth. Dealing with the truth of the kingdom of God. Mm. This is a relationship, and we got to go forward. Stop making excuses for bad behavior and get down to what He's called us to. Established in the faith as you have been taught. And that's something that we really have to look at. I can't even get into it like I want to. Let me say it like this. If your church started because somebody did something wrong and y'all went out because y'all looking for the truth, you might as well shut that church down. Amen?
Amen.
Because somebody at that church is going to do something wrong. Now, where do you go?
Right.
See, when the Holy Spirit sends you out, when you're pushed out, birthed out, then it comes with assignment. You started because of a need in the body. Amen? And we got too many people running around with the personal agendas with a cross on it. Not given by the cross. Amen? Mm. Come on. We can't even finish this. We're just going to have to stop. Come on, let's pray. Mm-hmm. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank You for this word. We thank You for the ability to minister this word. Lord, even as we go forward, we pray that You would help us, Lord, to do the things that You called us to do. I know at this point in time that there's some truth that You have to get out to the body, and thank You for using us to do so. Now, lead those who need this word to these broadcasts so that they can receive what they need in the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. We pray right now for those who are not saved, that they would pray this prayer. Father, forgive me of my sin. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Thank You, Father, for salvation in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, if they prayed that prayer, lead them to a Bible teaching, a Bible believing church where they can be matured and developed and go on to do the work that You called them to do. In the name of Jesus. Now I pray for the sick. I pray for the shut-in. I pray for those who need miracles to manifest in their life, financial and family and otherwise, Lord. Meet the need in the name of Jesus. And we thank You in advance, and we ask all these things that the Father may get the glory through His children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Listen, go to our website, www.ctkr.org. There you'll learn more about us. I pray you become a vision partner with us and help us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
I'm Prophetess McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, reminding you that it's God's will for you to live this kingdom lifestyle. We love you and we're praying for you.